Amen. Boy, I truly appreciate being here again. Your pastor certainly is a very dear friend of mine, and I appreciate, I don't know how many times we've had the occasion to be here in Lake County, in the missions, as well as other occasions. But I truly, truly appreciate this church, you, and certainly your pastor. So it's just been a wonderful relationship. Boy, I'll tell you, part of the message today is really the impact that you and your pastor has had on our lives. The plan kind of, at least in my thinking, because we just returned from Kenya, really, it's actually 2 weeks ago, now that I got my brain in gear a little bit. But when we got back, the third of July, we had about 3 or 4 days, and we had to head to Ohio for another conference. And that we just came from that conference, when was that? Saturday. And then we got turned that car in and picked up another car, and we're here. So we're still a little bit behind the curve in terms of rest and time. But, you know, praise the Lord for being able to serve our Lord and our God. The thoughts are for this evening is obviously to share what we have observed, and I'm really not necessarily a missionary in a traditional sense. I don't believe the Lord would have us necessarily to go to a particular country and just to remain there for some indefinite time. But we do, my wife and I do want to be able to be used of the Lord on the mission field, and whatever wide variety of ways that God wants, okay? Whatever variety of ways that God wants. So part of what we'll end up doing this evening is sharing a little bit of the Kenya, which just was a wonderful time for us. And the other occasions, at least to give you a little bit of idea, at least where I'm trying to head, because again, as I go to the various countries, and it hasn't been that many, three, and hopefully Nigeria might be our next opportunity in the next year or two, but we are looking to spend more time in Kenya. But to observe, what are some of the issues, what are some of the challenges that missionaries face? How can the Lord use us in those ways, and how can you perhaps partner along with us in some of those activities? So I'll be looking at a couple of the challenges that I see and that I observe, especially maybe on Monday, tomorrow night, in regards to church planting on the field. Certainly the significance of having doctrinally a sound work, but also what are the cultural issues that are there, and how does the faith go into that particular culture? What needs to be removed from that culture as they have the Lord working in their lives and building in their lives, and then what part that kind of a little bit remain in terms of that particular part of the land. And then on Tuesday in Kenya, for instance, they will tell you that when it comes to theology or understanding of the Bible, they got a broad understanding of all the theological positions, understandings of Scripture, very broad, but they say, you know what, our knowledge is only an inch thick, it's only an inch deep. And so we'll want to deal with what I would consider some of the next phases that take place in certain places like Kenya. I know Liberia is also like that. The Trinidad and Tobago, where we go, is like that. And we have a sense that as we've, I've had some time with a Nigerian young man who's getting his education here in the States and will be going back. And we'll hopefully be able to partner along with him. But again, the challenge of theological education. And then I think on Wednesday is really just the calling to missions. I don't have any statistics. I just have observations. And are more individuals taking the young people going into Bible college or older people going into Bible college? I tell people, you know, I was 42 when we got started in our first church. 42. So that's far, and of course I was the oldest in seminary, at that time. It took me 6 years. I was 36 when I went, 42 when I graduated. So I was on a very long period of time, and just like I am with my doctor's degree, which is even longer, but it'll get done ultimately by God's grace. But to challenge you in that particular area of the call to the ministry God's grace. And again, it's a little bit of close to my testimony. The day is a little bit about my testimony. Take your copy of God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because it deals with the sharing, the impact, the effect of missions that it takes place as a result of a church partnering in a financial way to the propagation of the gospel, to the work of the ministry. And so we would understand that, let's say a mission conference, and you have one every year, I would see that if I think about what we used to do as a pastor with missions conference and bringing in missionaries, what do I want to do? I want to expose you, that's one of the goals, to expose you to every good work, new work, how God is working in through the lives of those that are going to Taiwan, going to the Philippines and other places, to get an idea. What's that like? What's God doing there? So that would be one. The other is just reporting. In other words, you are investing. You are sharing God's gift for missions. And so let's report on it. I'm reporting on this. This evening and perhaps throughout the week. So it's kind of a report. There's an accounting that takes place, and that takes place here in the church. And as you plan for the amount of missions income that you want to set aside, you want to raise, so there's an accounting aspect that's there. To me, there is the calling, which we'll talk about that. But there's an other area that, for me, has been very, very important. I will say me and my wife. And that is, what's the effect? The effect of currency, money, the movement, the circulation of money from God to you, you to the missions field, to me. And what's that effect? What really is the effect? Not merely the fact that the gospel is proclaimed. Absolutely. People are getting saved. Absolutely. Churches are being built. Absolutely. Schools are being raised. Absolutely. But the impact that it has had on my life, the support that has come from this church, and certainly I know the pastor has been instrumental in leading and guiding you in regards to supporting missionaries, and of course, personally to me. We might listen to some of the words as I will go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to begin here at verse number 8, and then I'm gonna go 8, and then I'm going to skip down, because Paul, I'll go ahead and read 9 and 10. What Paul does with 9 and 10 in this passage is kind of lay out from an Old Testament perspective, you know, how does God work, and what are some of the expectations that you and I ought to have? So he says here, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. And then he has a little parenthesis here, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increasing the fruit of your righteousness. And here's what they are now. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies to the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your life, and for your liberation, liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, while longing after you, or long after you, for the exceeding grace in you. Thanks be to God, or thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, would your people, dear Lord, have a great appreciation for the sacrifice that they have made, for the sacrifice, I would pray, that you work within their life, that they can continue to make, and for the joy, Father, that they can witness and hear and see for the investments that they have made for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Very, very important to appreciate. Paul is dealing with, obviously, a missions project to the Jerusalem church. There was a need because there was a famine. There was a need to raise funds. So it's kind of a missions project in light of a great missions need and because of there being poverty. But chapters 8 and 9 is a great lesson in understanding the importance of giving. And what Paul doesn't just merely speak in terms of just the dollars per se, but as he calls it, God's grace, God's gift of grace working in the lives of his people to make missions a reality. And so, in verse number 8, in which I read, we need to always appreciate that it is the power of God. God makes it possible. It makes it such that it makes for you capable, able to provide for missions work. And so in this last kind of a blessing that he gives, I would like you to embrace those same words. So as you stand back as this week, you listen to me, you listen to the missionaries going to Taiwan, the missionaries going to the Philippines, to kind of stand back and see what the capability, the possibility there is for you in partnering in with us. And to appreciate this, again, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Or the meaning of the idea of unspeakable is that, you know what? When we refer to what's taking place throughout our world, there's no single narrative. There's no set of words. There's no real description that can be given to say, this defines the grace of God. It's unspeakable. It's beyond our imagination. It covers a wide range of possibilities. And so the gospel has a powerful message in transforming lives. The gospel is also, God's grace is also powerful in how it works through the church and bringing glory to him in your support of us. And as I speak of my wife and myself, brings the kind of thanksgiving and a great appreciation for the privilege to be able to serve God where God calls us. And that is because of the empowerment, the enablement that he has given you. You need to keep that in mind. And that while, you know what, every year there is also this goal to raise funds and to support missionaries. But God speaks of it in the fact that, hey, this is good work. If you want to define what is a good job is being able to sacrifice and invest in the work of the ministry where others are going. So this message, this whole idea of the gift that God provides, it doesn't have a clear descriptive narrative that we can just encapsulate it all. In doing so, in other words, this unspeakable gift in which I would like you to embrace, I would like you to at least understand two truths. All right? You're going to embrace, okay? What we do can't be necessarily put into clear, definitive words because of the multiplicity of possibilities that it can have. But list these two truths. Let me give you the two, and that way I can stay well within the 40 minutes. The first truth is this. God's abounding grace. So the reason Paul's speaking about the gift, and I think that gift, this unspeakable gift, is this grace that's bestowed that has this multiplicity of turns of outcome. God's abounding grace is not just connected with the size, the amount. It's not just connected with the amount. It is to be abounding. I think it should be. I think it needs to be very sacrificial. But it isn't really just about the amount. But it's also about the effect. What does it do? How does it impact those who are recipients of that grace? And of course, in verse number 8, he begins and he says, okay, God is able to make all grace to abound towards you. He's able to do that. He's able to do that. We go to the Lord in our prayers and say, Lord, I really want to give in the work of the ministry in a very abundant way, a great way, greater than I can even imagine. God's able to do that. And then he says, it has all sufficiency, in other words, always having all sufficiency in all things. So we would say, One of the effects of what God does in our life in terms of mission is first, and in our own life, sufficiency. We're looking at a God who looks and says, yes, there's a need in order to support missions, but there's also a need to support you, to sustain your life, to sustain this church. And so there is a sufficiency for our personal needs or the corporate needs that are connected with God's abounding grace. He says also it can spill over. Not only is there sufficiency, but if there's abundance, there's going to be more there. We had a saint in our church in Minnesota. She's gone home to be with the Lord. She lived to be 99, and she just passed away this past, probably this past wintertime. But every time you would meet her, she would always say, well, how are you doing, Bessie? Oh, boy, I'm drinking from my saucer. What is he saying? Her cup overflows. She drinks from her saucer. God has been abundant to her life, and it's kind of caught on. We all say, yeah, I'm drinking from my saucer. So there's a spilling over. That's what takes place. That God's grace abounds in the true believer that it might spill over into service. So that second part where he speaks of the what God is able to do for us, he says not only in all sufficiency, but that it might. This is the potential. This is the whole results that God wants to see to take place. Have the needs, personal as well as corporate needs, met. But then also it is to spill over in an abundant way, the going above those essentials that is needed in life as well as corporate ministry, that it might bound to every kind. The word there, every, is in the Greek language, the word is all, but if it's in the singular, the word is every, and it's every kind. So he said, if it's God is able to cause things to spill over in the church so that every kind of ministry can be fulfilled through you. Through you. God's able to do that. And we need to appreciate that God is able to do that. The currency of missions is overflowing. It is distribution. You know, we don't use the word currency much anymore. I guess in accounting they still call currency and coin, that sort of thing. But it's just kind of interesting about the word currency. It's not merely the medium of exchange, the dollars, but it's really the root idea is circulation. God wants his power, his grace through you to circulate, to move about, to go out. You know, if you take any bill, take a dollar bill, $5 bill, $10 bill. You know what? In our pockets, which we're holding dearly, is probably the object that's got the most germs. is in our wallets or in our purse. You know what that is? Those dollars. They've been everywhere. They've been all over the place. That's the idea of the currency of missions. It's going to go everywhere. It's going to go every place. And again, God's able to do that through you. Do you want God to do that through you? Well, amen. I trust that He do. I trust that that's your heart, that you want that to take place. The second truth, and we are moving on really well here, God's grace abounds in the true believer that it might return grace to God. I'll say that again. God's grace abounds to the true believer. I am using the I am hyphenated believer. It's genuine believer. Those who have truly put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are beyond a shadow of a doubt know that God is the Lord is their Savior. And if anything were to happen tonight, that unquestionably you'll be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No doubts about that. But I'm saying true believer. So God's grace abounds in the true believer that it might return grace to God. And of course, when we come down to verse number 11, down to the end of this chapter, He lets it be known. Being enriched. In other words, the being enriched ties back to 8, because God has enabled the Corinthians to abound and the expectations to abound in every good work. So He says, therefore, being enriched in everything, all a bountifulness, every possibility of bountifulness for them, says, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So Paul has let it be known that when there is genuine, abundant sharing for the work of ministry, in this particular case, for the Jerusalem church, it's going to cause thanksgiving to God through them. Paul, perhaps Titus, and others that are involved in doing what? One is assuring that the collection is made, because the Corinthians were quick to say, hey, yeah, we're all in. There's a missions project. There's a missions need in Jerusalem. We're all in. But somewhere along the line, Paul was concerned that they were lacking a little bit. So he sent a fundraiser. You know, here we get fundraising in here. He sends Titus to do the fundraising, all right? And so Paul is there, and he sends somebody else along with Titus, and he lets it be known that God, because God has been abundant to you, and if this spills out into abundant work in the mission, this is going to cause us, Paul, Titus, the other individuals that's going with them, all other people that are going to be administratively involved in distributing these funds, we're going to praise God. We're going to give thanksgiving to God. That's one of the effects. As actually, the bottom line effect is that to those that are involved in a very personal way, God is glorified. You need to understand, God is glorified. Now, again, we sometimes struggle with giving or the amount of money that's there or once it's gone, you know, we see the slides and those type of things. But you need to understand those that are involved. And I think at this level, we're talking about the pastor. Maybe we're talking about the deacons, those that are involved in the accounting. We're talking about everyone that's been personally involved to see the money of the mission plan planned, to see the mission plan collected, to see the mission plan administered or accounted for and distributed. Those individuals in your church, when that happens, Paul says it causes us to give thanksgiving to God. There's a thankfulness, there's a glorification that takes place unto God. So there's an internal impact in terms of spiritual effects. What are the spiritual effects? Consider that. What happens within the group of individuals who are planning a missions activity amount, goals, etc., when that's reached, what it does, it brings thanksgiving to God. It glorifies God. Really, the ultimate end, the chief end for every one of us is to glorify God. Whether we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, let's do it all to the glory of God. That's our chief end. And missions work, the collection, the distribution and administration does that. But then there also gives some reasons behind this, by the way, Paul does. Because in number 12, he talks about the administration. He says, for the administration of this service not only supplies to the want of the saints. So here again, it's sufficiency. Keep in mind, let's make it simple. When it comes to money, there's two ends. Money that I need to live, money do I need to give. Two basically, we can boil it down those two. Money I need to live, money I need to give. And so he does the same thing right here. He just kind of a reiteration here. In other words, being enriched. So the administration part of this service, getting it distributed, not only supplies to the want of the saints, it takes funds in order for those saints to live. In other words, they were facing poverty or because of the economic condition in Jerusalem, but we'll just make it in our sense for missions, is the fact that obviously the saints, those who are going, they need to be able to live. There is a necessity there in order to live. So it supplies for them. The necessity for us to be able to travel over to Kenya or to the Trinidad and Tobago or Liberia. You've all been involved in that. You've all been involved in that. They provided for our essentials to get there. But not only that, he says, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Wow. Not only is the essentials, the necessities to go from here to Kenya and to live during our time in Kenya or my living in time of Liberia or wherever the Lord sends us, but that it abounds in a multiplicity of ways of thanksgiving. The Kenyan people were just elated for our presence. And while they don't know you, They are excited. We spoke of you because you were very instrumental for us in order to be there. It produced, and let's just say we are around, I don't know, a couple hundred people, 200-300 people, and they know where we're from and know how we got there. A multiplicity of thanksgiving. Indescribable. With 300 different people and expressing that, that's why it's unspeakable. It's indescribable. So that distribution of funds obviously met the essentials again, but also it resulted in a multiplicity of thanksgiving. But 13 is another reason that's kind of unusual, and we could perhaps park there for a lengthy period of time, which I want, but something to clearly think about. He says, whilst by the experiment, it's probably not the best translation of the use of the word in the King James, but I'm reading it what we have. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorified God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. The better sense of this word experiment would be proof. So while by the proof of this ministry, they really glorified God. Now we need to appreciate something here. These are Gentile Christians. And the gift was going to go to Jewish believers. Now if we read Acts, you know that the gospel or the gospel, the power of the church begins with the Jews, and then it began to move the Samaritans, and then we find out that, boy, some Gentiles are going to ultimately get saved. They send Peter out, Of course, after Paul gets saved, other churches are going to be started, Gentile churches. But I think the Jews were a little bit, I mean, do they have the real thing? I mean, we hear word that the Holy Spirit has come. Peter has affirmed that to us. But this ethnicity, this tension still perhaps exists. Does the Gentiles have the real thing? And so with this, because here are these Gentiles are going to give to Jews, these Jewish believers said, wow, God be the glory. God, you know, glory of God. These guys are real. Even though they are different ethnicities, these guys are real. They've got the real thing because they have, as Paul will say, they've allowed to be under the subjection of the gospel. The gospel is a message that must go out. The gospel involves support that goes out. They did that. What elation that had. In all three countries that I have visited, I've always gotten the response, boy, it is surprising to see a man of color, more color than those of lesser color. You've got color. You're not white. You've got color. You've got less of it than I have. So therefore, they say, and even in this case, and maybe stealing my wife's testimonial time, as we went out visiting and trying to evangelize in Kenya, how come no individual with more color have not ever been here? And I got that in Liberia. I've got that in Trinidad and Tobago. And what that did, what that caused as a result of your giving, for me and my wife to be there, for them to say, yes, they've got the real thing. It's almost as though, where are the people of color? Where are they? Of course, they hear the news and all those other kinds of things, but where are they? So they gave us a privilege for us to be there. And there's a certain level of excitement to let it be known of us who have this origin from that continent. And of course, they want to know what tribe we're from. I don't know. You pick one. I'll be it. So the Liberians said, okay, we'll let you be from Liberia. And the Kenyans, I said, well, I do know I did my little DNA thing, and I got like a couple percent of Bantu. Oh, we're Bantu too. Okay, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters all the way. But that's what it does. You have no idea. You may not have any idea, but this is the point of the message, is to give you an idea of the profound impact that your giving having upon the recipients of that gift. That's God's grace. That's why Paul can say it's an unspeakable gift. What he gives to you to make it possible to spill over, it's an unspeakable gift. And obviously with being the recipient, they've got, again, Israel, Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, they're uncertain. But now the Jews said, as Paul will write, they glorify God for your profession, your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. We really know now you guys are genuine believers because you are being guided by the gospel. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Not only are they guided by the gospel, but he says, man, you're giving in a rich way. In a rich way. Not only to them, those recipients and Jewish Christians, but all men as the work of the ministry expands and others are involved. What it does, don't discount that. Want more of that. And then he would also say in terms of the other reason, we had the three in terms of the administration of the service, really met needs, but also resulted in a multitude of thanksgiving. The other reason, not only in terms of the proof of ministry or proof of salvation, they glorified God for all that was done in terms of your giving. And then it does this. He says there's intercessory prayer that you don't know about. But he lets them know. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, that you might continue. That's our prayer. You have to keep in mind a little bit in terms of this last piece, even though this racial distinction that takes place between Jewish Christians and the perception of Gentile Christians, that Paul is letting it be known that, you know what? These Gentiles, because of those Gentiles, we've got these Jews praying for you. It wasn't like that before, but they're praying for you. And there's this prayer that takes place for you. We got on the plane and we pray, thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Just as we were received the support in order to go to Kenya, we were elated. I'll be honest, we were elated. Matter of fact, we were pretty close to being floored. Especially in terms of for my wife being able to go along with me. And it's not a cheap, you know, to go to Africa round trip, it's not a cheap flight. And also to be able to experience some level of refreshment, supplying our needs, the recognizing that there's a need for some level of refreshment. As we do the work of the ministry, what does that do? What it does is that when I have my prayer time, I remember Lake County Baptist Temple. I remember Pastor Warren, Dr. Warren. I remember that. And this is what Paul says. It says, boy, you know, God's grace abounds to such a degree that there is attention placed on the giver. Attention placed on the giver. That God will continue to bestow grace upon you, that you can continue doing what you're doing. What? Bringing glory to God, bringing great and a multitude of way of thanksgiving. Don't stop. Don't stop. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, knowing what takes place, and even though we have no imagination or no idea, we see pictures, we see books given, we see a lot of things take place, but we had no idea. We had no idea how it transformed and it impacted those that received in a great way. As we would pray for you, and ask that God would continue. Do you embrace Paul's closing statement? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That gift of grace, the potential to be able to give. Do you embrace that? I would pray that you do. And I would pray that you would understand the profound impact of your giving and what it does. What it does to me, and I'm sure what it does to other who leave this country or go out this country in order to serve the Lord, however the Lord has called them. Take that and as your gift. Father in heaven and Father of all, owner of all things, the Father who is omnipotent and makes it clearly possible for your people to abound for their essentials and for that to spill over to impact those like ourselves who go. Lord, I pray that they won't take their privilege and what they've done in our lives lightly, but rejoice with me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pastor.